Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back. Glad you're with us today, ladies and gentlemen. You tuned in today for a great program, and I'll tell you why. We have a returning guest who is one of my favorite guests, I will confess. And the reason he is one of my favorite is he cuts right through the bull and just speaks right to the heart of the issue on financial planning, retirement planning, getting your money right. And I'll share with you why, and you'll see very quickly as we start to talk why he's back and why I feel that way about Dennis Miller. He is really a well-regarded across the board in the financial field, well-regarded consultant, speaker, author, active international lecturer for 40 years. He's written several books, consulted with many Fortune 500 companies, training hundreds of executives to communicate effectively. Who's who clientele base, GE, Mobile, Shell, HP, IBM, the list goes on and on. He's been an active member, served a U.S. Marine. We appreciate that, member of the Mensa Society. And he's got a great story because in 1995, Dennis undertook a very serious study about his own money in retirement and figuring out how to really reboot his own retirement to make it work for him. And that's the name of the book, by the way, Retirement Reboot. And we've got a website for you. Dennis does a free weekly blog and information newsletter out there that you can take a look at over on his website, Miller on the Money, millerontheMoney.com. So let's get cranking. Lots to go over with Dennis. Dennis, welcome back to the program.
Wow, after that introduction, I better be good, David. Thank you.
You better be, but if you want, you can take me on the road and I'll introduce you wherever you want. Okay. So
thanks,
listen,
David.
It's always good to talk to you. As I said, I love that you just cut right through the bull, and people say that you just, you know, get to the heart of a matter and then hit it square on the head. So let's dive in here. There's a lot we can talk about. Of course, I follow your work. And one of the things that you've written about recently, which is a perennial favorite subject of mine, is addressing this issue or challenge or maybe obstacle that people have that they say, you know, Dennis, I would love to have, you know, all my financial affairs in order, or I'd like to do this, or I'd like to do that. But, you know, I'm just too busy. I don't have time for that.
David, that seems to be a common excuse. And, you know, if you take a look at the baby boomers now, you know, when you're in your 30s or something like that, I guess one could forgive people for doing that. I know we were busy, you know, when we were younger too, but as we're getting closer towards retirement, particularly in today's investment climate, the opposite is true. You can't afford not to plan. And, you know, it's an excuse. And what it really says to me is nobody has raised the priority high enough on my to-do list for me to get around it. And that's a mistake.
Well, it is. And you spoke to, you know, the gigantic pink elephant in the room, and that is that we are in an environment today with the markets and interest rates where people feel like they're kind of, I don't want to say trapped, but there's a lot of confusion and there's a lot of uncertainty. That's the word. You know, the market, of course, has done what the market does. You know, it has a pullback, it has a correction, it then plods ahead and, you know, the bull market ensues. But we've also got volatility, and then we have this very low interest rate environment, and we are at the end of a probably 30-some year bull market in bonds. And as interest rates turn the other way, people are going to be surprised to find out that bonds can actually go down in value. So we've got I don't want to say a perfect storm, but we definitely have the makings for, you know, a combination that's going to have a lot of people saying, how in the world do I plan? If I do make the time, how in the world do I plan in that environment?
Well, I think that's a good point that you're making. You know, one of the things I point to is the Employee Benefit Research Institute. They do a survey every year. And, you know, when we're talking about planning, it's absolutely amazing because one of the things that they reported in their 2016 report was less than half of the workers report they and or their spouse have ever tried to calculate how much money they will need to have saved so they can live comfortably in retirement. And then it goes on in surveys, those that reported that they have, and they guessed. Mm. So the bottom line is over half the respondents have never attempted to calculate how much they need. And 39% of those who do, yes. And they call that retirement planning. And
yeah.
David, couple that with the fact that the market is really in bad shape. While the market is high, it's due to the fact that the Fed is creating money out of thin air. It's not based on a booming economy. And interest rates are going to stay low for the foreseeable future. I don't know what you have to do to create the need for some folks to sit down and deal with reality. But you're right, it is the perfect storm, and the people that are going to be able to survive it are the ones that are going to get proactive and do something about it rather than ignore it.
Well, exactly. I mean, if you've got a disaster preparedness plan, or you've got a response to whatever situation may come, I mean, it's something as simple as having a, you know, the number you call when you have a flat tire on the interstate. At least you've got a plan to deal with it when it comes. But a lot of people, you know, in this environment that we've spoken about, Dennis, they go, golly, planning in and of itself is hard. Having an idea of how much money I need to accumulate is hard. I don't even want to deal with it. And then on top of it, to add all these other difficulties and challenges. And I know that you're an advocate for people to really get serious and focus on this. And so what are some of the recommendations you have for them?
Well, I think one of the things that you have to recognize is that it's your retirement. Unless you want to sit down and work for the rest of your life, you're going to have major changes that you're going to have to make. And the sooner you get started, the better off you're going to be. One of the things that I wrote about was the EBRI came up with a couple of conclusions. And I said they ought to be putting these things in neon lights. And
yeah.
They're very, very short.
Right.
It said workers who have done retirement savings need calculation tend to report higher savings goals than do workers who have not done the calculation. Duh. Workers who have done retirement savings need calculations are more likely than those who have not done the calculation to say they feel very confident about affording a comfortable retirement. Duh. So the point being is, what are you trying to accomplish? You're trying to make sure that you understand the difference between needs and wants.
Yeah.
Then you want to sit there and figure out what you have to do so that you can get your financial house in order, so that you don't end up having to work until you drop. And, you know, that's a very real fear. I think one of the life insurance companies did a study a few years ago, and what was it, 61% of the respondents feared running out of money, ranked higher than death.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, it's crazy. So step number one is stop with the excuse and get started. Figure out where you are. Figure out what your net worth is. Figure out your income. Figure out what you're going to need and build a plan to get there. It doesn't take weeks. It just takes a little bit of focus.
Well, and on your point, I think there's a really important point to, I'm going to double underline, highlight it, put it in bold, and put the neon light on it you mentioned. And that is that, you know, there, this whole idea, which I love the idea of people working longer because it means they're going to be able to accumulate more. And you know, the idea of trying to have take early retirement is very, very difficult for people. But to work into their retirement years and to be able to, you know, maybe not take Social Security at 62, which most people do, but put it off, work a little longer. But the challenge or the there's a gap. And I know you wrote about this in your recent article that's on your website, that a lot of people, there's a gap. A lot of people say they're going to work longer. 67% of them say they want to plan on working past normal retirement age, but actually only 27% do that. And half of the people that said they left work, they indicated they left work because they were forced to before they wanted to. So it sounds good, but when it gets to the actually what plays out, it's not exactly how it's so reliable of an option.
Well, I think what you're looking for, David, when you really look at the big picture is, I'm 76 years old. I flunked retirement a couple of times. I'm writing a free blog. I keep it free so I can write what I feel like.
Sure.
I like to feel that I can still make a contribution to society. But there's a big difference between being able to retire on your own terms and work when you want, do things that you enjoy, as opposed to having to work because you got to pay the bills and wondering how you're going to put the next meal in front of you.
Yeah.
And that it's the planning factor that enables you to retire on your own terms. And, you know, who wants to be 80 years old? You know, I mean, when we were young, it used to be, how come there's so much month left at the end of the money? Who needs to be saying that when they're 80 years old?
Right.
I mean, you work your whole life. You should end up in a better position than that.
Yeah.
And the truth is, most people make enough money that they should be able to retire. The ones that are worried until the day they die are the ones that haven't taken the time to deal with reality, look at their limitations, look at their spending, get it under control so that they can enjoy that last quarter of their life.
Yeah, well, that's the key. And I really love your being able to come on and talk with us about it, Dennis. And you know, the listeners heard you. You know, you've done your own retirement a couple of times, and you had to reboot it after retiring at a very, unfortunately, inopportune time with the markets that did not do well and really put you in a spot like a lot of people getting crushed by the market meltdown. And so you've had to reboot, rebuild. And so I love that you can come on and talk with us. The book is Retirement Reboot. That's Dennis Miller's book, and there's a lot more over at MillerOnTheMoney.com. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more with Dennis. Stay right there.
The Rice & Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, President and Managing Partner of Rice & Rose. The Rice & Rose Law Firm has a department dedicated to estate planning, wills, trusts, and probate. We also provide legal guidance if you need a power of attorney, living will, or health care surrogate. Contact the Rice & Rose Law Firm at our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit our website at ricerosenlaw.com.
Does getting financial advice seem like a game of cat and mouse? Maybe it's time to hire a fiduciary, a financial professional who puts the needs of his clients ahead of his own. A fiduciary also means an advisor should recommend products and services he believes will best serve his clients' needs, not what an insurance company or investment company tells him he has to sell. Next time you're talking to an advisor, ask him, "Are you a fiduciary? Yes or no?" If the advisor doesn't know, then the answer's probably no. This public service announcement is brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we are back. Dennis Miller on the line. MillerOnTheMoney.com is the website. Great stuff. And as you heard Dennis say, he's not bought and paid for by anybody, so he gets to write what he wants, and I think you've earned it, Dennis. I'm glad you're doing that. And the book is Retirement Reboot, and that tells Dennis's personal story. When was that that you got caught with? Was it the 2000 crash?
No, it actually happened, David, when the first TARP bill came out.
Okay.
I was with the, you know, the old slang term. I felt like I was set for life. I had money in CDs and money left over at the end of the year, and I was enjoying the retirement dream. And the truth of the matter is, David, I think one of the things that people have got to recognize is when the TARP bill came out, that was supposed to be a temporary situation where they were going to cut interest rates, and then things were going to get back to normal. Well, several quantitative easings later, and 8 years later, okay, what was supposed to be temporary is now the new normal. I saw an interesting article come across my desk yesterday. Try again. Japan is set for the 26th fiscal stimulus plan since 1990.
Wow.
Yeah. So the point being, David, somebody's got to deal with reality. Retirees today can no longer take their nest egg and invest in solid, safe, you know you're going to not default, government bonds or certificates of deposit or corporate bonds, and get enough of a yield off those investments to meet their retirement projection. And I don't see that it's going to change.
Not in the short term.
No, not in the short term, and maybe at my age, not in my lifetime.
That's certainly possible. And, you know, I can't tell you, I could if I stopped and really sat down and worked on it, but I can't tell you off the top of my head how many people have come in with that exact situation described to me, Dennis, where they've come in and said, I've got this much money in CDs or money market. I'm concerned about the market. I'm not sure about getting into the stock market, but I want stability and I want to earn something. And it's, You know, their choices have really been narrowed, and so it requires planning. It requires using what I have found is you have to use a combination. You know, there's no one-size-fits-all perfect solution. You know, the days of the 5, 7, 8% CDs are long gone, and you no longer can, it's no longer that easy. To be candid, it takes more work, and it takes a combination, usually, of financial tools to get people where they need to be.
You have to diversify to protect yourself. David, I did a study recently, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm sure you can reinforce this. Junk bonds, which are considered below investment-grade bonds, go into the junk bond funds today, which are very high risk for default, are paying less interest today than CDs did in 2007.
Yeah, that's right. I agree with that.
So the fact remains is that people say, well, I've got to have 4 or 5% yield, that's better than I can get anywhere else. And the answer is, you're going to put all your money there because you could use it. You could lose it, rather. I read recently where we've already had this year a record number of 100 bond defaults, primarily in the United States. Junk bonds don't always get paid back.
No.
And, when the economy is not booming and the people that have borrowed the money aren't earning enough money in their business to pay their obligation, bondholders are going to get hurt. And you're right, David. If you're all in junk bonds, if you're all in the market, if you're all in here, you're all in there, you're compounding your problem.
Yeah, I can't underscore enough, and I'm glad you're here to echo and agree with me, Dennis. I can't underscore enough the importance of diversification and not going all in on anything. I don't care what it is. There is no perfect investment in today's world, and it's just people owe it to themselves to say, let me look at this. You know, I had somebody the other day, we were talking about real estate, and it used to be that, rental real estate was this idea of it, being passive income. Well, it ain't passive anymore. People have a lot of headaches with it, and there's difficulties and there's challenges. So if people can take one thing from our conversation, Dennis, is don't go all in on any one thing, no matter how good it sounds.
Well, let's talk about rental real estate. I've got about 2 sentences on that. Rental real estate is going into a business. And that if you want to go into the rental real estate business, it's a business, no different than any other business you're going to get into. So if you need to generate income in your retirement by going into business, that's one option. Passive it is not.
Exactly.
Right? And, people talk about, we want to flip houses. Well, unless you've got a real estate broker's license, the person who normally makes out on the flipping houses is the realtor.
That's right. That's right.
And the reality is if you need to generate more income and you want to go into a business, that's fine. But there is no easy business. You better understand what you're getting into.
There's no free lunch, is there, Dennis?
No.
No, there's not. There's not. And again, if somebody I've had people say, I want to do some real estate. I'm like, fine. Make it part of a portfolio. You know, they do the TV commercials about breakfast cereal, Dennis, and they say, they always say they have this super loaded sugar cereal they're advertising that looks like a candy bar inside of a box that's cut up in pieces. And they say, but it's good as part of an overall what? Well-balanced diet or breakfast, and they have off to the side the glass of milk, the fruit, the other stuff that you're supposed to eat too. So anything needs to be part of an overall portfolio.
Agreed.
Well, you mentioned government involvement, government action, and that's another topic I wanted to get to. In fact, let's grab a break. We'll come back and talk about it. I want to talk about inflation and the Fed and kind of where things are headed. Hold right there, Dennis. Dennis Miller, ladies and gentlemen, Retirement Reboot is the book and the website milleronthemoney.com. Stay right there.
Two things are for sure. It's summertime and the kids want to swim. I'm sure glad that we enrolled our children in the Volusia Flagler YMCA Summer Swim Program. It was so easy. At the Y, they enjoy water sports, meet new friends, and most important, they learn water safety skills. If you haven't signed up yet, call your local Y or log on to vfymca.org. Come on, it's summertime. Enjoy it more with the Summer Swim Programs from your Volusia Flagler YMCA.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
Hi, this is Mike Peerless, NMLS number 1073735, Reverse Mortgage Director for Holland Mortgage Services, a subsidiary of Holland Financial. It used to be that people considered a reverse mortgage as a loan of last resort. In fact, our company's founder and host of this program, David Holland, was a skeptic himself. However, after many client requests, David investigated this product thoroughly and decided that a reverse mortgage could fit into one's overall financial plan. Holland Mortgage Services is a licensed Florida broker, and we can help you refinance your existing mortgage and stop making ongoing monthly mortgage payments. However, you're still responsible for payment of property taxes, homeowners insurance, and HOA fees. You can also tap your home's equity to pay off credit cards or put cash in the bank. Call 386-671-7526 today for a free evaluation. Sometimes, to move forward, you need to go reverse. That number again is 386-671-7526. Holland Mortgage Services, NMLS number 1432962.
Hey, welcome back. Dennis Miller on the line. Retirement Reboot is the book. From his own personal experience, what you got to do to reboot your retirement, Retirement Reboot, and the website, MillerOnTheMoney.com. And inflation, Dennis, is it dead, or would the Fed like to see some inflation?
The Fed wants inflation. What happened is, let's real quick, what inflation is, it's easily understood. If you look at, you have a share of a company, and you have a stock split. So now you have two shares. The company isn't worth any more, but each share of stock is now worth half what it was before because you had a split. Well, inflation is when the government creates more and more currency, the value of each share or each dollar buying power goes down. Now, the Fed wants inflation because it makes it easier for people who have borrowed money to pay back their debts with cheaper dollars. Where the world is different, David, from what you and I have ever seen is we've created $4 trillion worth of additional money, in effect, additional currency, since they started with the first TARP bill. But inflation is in relationship to other governments' currency, where the Swiss franc or the euro or some other currency becomes worth more. You've got your G20 now coordinating so that the United States, Europe, Japan, China, Canada, Australia, they're all doing the same thing to try to have some sort of parity. Here's the fallacy. The Keynesian type of economist says the government primes the pump by making it easy for people to borrow, to go buy things, for fat people to build factories and things like that. That primes the economic pump and creates jobs. It's not working because the bulk of the population that has investment capital now are baby boomers and retirees. They don't want to borrow money. They want to get out of debt. They want to live within their means. And the fact is that it's not priming the pump and it's not working. And it will not work. People are not wanting to borrow money. And the Fed is just continuing down the wrong path, and I don't care who gets elected president, until the Fed changes its tune, our situation is not going to get a whole heck of a lot better.
So ironically, Dennis, raising interest rates might actually cause it's contra what normally is viewed. You know, raising interest rates is always thought to, you know, to stifle or hold back the economy. But having these ultra-low interest rates is not really doing the job. Is my hypothesis correct that maybe they've actually got to start to raise them to actually get something going?
Well, yes, David, I think you're right on. As a matter of fact, consumer advocate Ralph Nader wrote an open letter to Janet Yellen. It says, if you want to stimulate the economy, take a look at the baby boomers and the people that have worked all their life that just want to get a decent yield from a CD. Give them a decent yield, they'll have the money to spend, and it'll get the economy going. What The problem is the big banks in Wall Street are going to have a problem because right now the stock market is propped up artificially because that's the only available option left for people to get any kind of yield, your stock appreciation or dividend. So I think that, that Nader was right. You start raising rates and giving people some money that have saved money in the largest segment of our population, over the long term, it would get us out. In the short term, you're going to see a market correction, and that's going to scare the daylights out of people.
You know, it's fascinating to me that how short-term thinking sometimes this can be, because we've had, you know, since 1950, or 1960, going back 50, 60 years, we've had a 10% pullback or more in half of those years. So it's not some surprising, ultra unusual. It's on average one out of every 2 years, we have a 10% pullback within that period of time. But people think, oh my God, this never happens.
David, let me interview the interviewer. In your experience as a financial planner, have you ever seen as many corporations borrowing money at low interest rates to buy back their stock, which to me indicates I'd rather buy back my stock because I'm not going to invest in property, plant, and equipment to sell more products because the market is not there.
No,
have you seen as many corporate buybacks as you're seeing today in your experience?
No, I have not. And I think that the people that are out there listening to us, Dennis, who have taken this path of I've got to have yield, either with high yield bonds or they've gone all into the market, and they're doing this at a time when they're very dependent on the income produced by their portfolio, they are really, well, as Warren Buffett would say, they are swimming naked.
There they are. And I can tell you what, David, I hope all your clients have some very tight stop loss, because when the correction comes, it's going to be very swift and very sudden, and a lot of people are going to get hurt.
Well, another quote, best way to avoid a punch is not to be standing there. I do not recommend people have all their money in the market. We recommend being diversified, as we talked about earlier, and having your money into a variety of things and having the ability to withstand what you described as what could be potentially a sharp decline, because that's how it happens.
Yeah, and you know, going back to what we started the show with, look at that, what you're talking about, having a diversified portfolio versus over the half the people that are in their 50s and 60s who've never sat down to even plan.
Yeah.
And they get all their money in the stock market, maybe in a 401k.
Right.
And at the moment they need it, they might find it's not there.
Well, and that is exactly why they need to be paying attention. They need to go to your website, of course, Dennis, and get on the MillerOnTheMoney.com. Get more information, pick up your book, Retirement Reboot, and as you can tell, we're out of time, Dennis, and I love having you on, and we'll have you back.
Thanks for having me, David. Appreciate it.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.